Hello there, and welcome to the podcast. It's John Markar here, and I thought I'd just jump in with a very quick but very important message that I wanted to share with you before you delve into this episode of the Driven Chat podcast. This podcast, the Driven Chat podcast, has now come to an end. But don't worry, I'm not going to stop you from listening to this episode or from catching up with the 185 episodes that we've recorded in this format. I just wanted to let you know that if you're looking for our new episodes recorded after December 2023, then you'll need to seek out our new podcast, The Driven Podcast. You can find The Driven Podcast in all the usual podcast platforms, including, chances are, the one that you're listening to this one on right now. So please do enjoy this episode, share it with a friend by all means. But when it's done, don't forget to search for the new podcast, The Driven Podcast, and subscribe to the new format to hear the new stuff. To make life easy, head on over to the Driven website via driven.site. There you will find links through to the new podcast, including links to your preferred podcast platform. And hey, whilst you're there, why not check out everything else we do, including hand-picked automotive news stories, car and bike reviews, video features, and even more. For now, though, I'll let you enjoy this episode, and I will remind you again at the end of the episode, but for the future reference, this message is approximately 1 minute and 30 seconds long. That's 6 clicks on the 15-second skip button. Enjoy!
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, I'm Miles Lacey.
Hello, I'm Amy Haynes.
Hello, and I'm John Markar, and welcome to this week's Driven Chat podcast, where this week we are going to be talking about lots of exciting things. Firstly, Amy has driven to Scotland and almost had to buy a new car in doing so. Miles has been driving a very exciting vehicle known as the Luton Van, and I've been rolling around in an electric BMW that I quite liked. Also, on today's show, we're going to be talking about some hard-hitting news stories, including Top Gear is over, question mark. Is it over? It's not over, but it is certainly on hold, and it's definitely worth us having a quick conversation about. The Tesla Cybertruck that we've been banging on about for 2.5 years is finally being delivered to customers. Ian Callum, the car designer, has revealed his latest car. It's called the Sky, and I think it's awesome. Ineos Grenadier have launched their new car called the Quartermaster, and I really want one. McLaren is going back to Le Mans for a bit of motorsport, which is exciting. Goodwood is going to be fuelled next year for the revival exclusively with synthetic fuels. And we'll be discussing, between the three of us, what is the ultimate winter car? Welcome to the Driven Chat podcast.
The Driven Chat podcast, powered by Paramex Digital.
As introductions go, they shouldn't be that difficult. However, we've just spent the best part of 5 minutes trying to say our own names because we're so bad at this.
I think we should put one of the outtakes at the end of this.
We could do.
We'll play the file that I actually stopped recording going, oh my God, we're going to have to just start again. Because for whatever reason, we're rubbish at saying hello.
But whenever people look at me, they just burst out laughing.
It happens. Yeah.
I was going to be really mean then, but I'm not going
oh,
to.
Go on.
I was just going to say, because it's your face.
Oh, well, that's true.
It's really mean. It's not your face. You've got a lovely face.
Thank you.
But you opened yourself up there for
a
dig.
It's the only one I have. So.
Yeah. Well, welcome to this week's podcast. Sorry, did you want a compliment from me as well?
Never gonna happen.
Okay. Just don't do compliments. That's the rule. Don't give them, don't receive them. Right, welcome to the latest episode of the Driven Chat podcast. It's December.
Hey. Have you had your advent calendars this morning?
I haven't.
Why what?
I've got
advent
two.
Advent calendars.
I don't have one.
What?
Oh.
I've got two too.
Yeah, I've got two.
All right, there's no need to show off. All right.
Pop over to Morrison's after, we'll get you an advent calendar.
Okay. Why haven't you got an advent calendar?
I just don't think it's a thing that you buy yourself.
Oh,
no, that's true.
That's really that's sad. True. Yeah. But really sweet, but yeah.
And I wasn't gifted one, and then I neglected to realise that it is the 1st of December today.
Well,
maybe you can gift yourself one.
Okay.
And then you can start from, like, tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, this podcast is going out on Monday, so that's going to be the 4th.
Yeah.
So if anyone's listening that can quickly get a advent calendar in the post to Miles, look up the address. And we'll pass it on.
Okay.
We'll see. You never know.
I'm going to get some like horrible stuff in the mail now.
This is a little catch-up episode because this is what we do once in a while. And we'll have a little catch-up on what we've been doing. But also, as you might have seen from the title of this episode, this is the beginning of the end. We are now rapidly wrapping up towards the end of this production as you know it, with the name as you know it, before we then move on to our new production in the new year. So we're going to have a little break. We're going to put our feet up for a while, not do very much, possibly sit on the beach for a few weeks, if only. No, we're actually going to be very busy putting together what's coming next, as well as all the website things that are coming next. But before we dive into that, I want to have a little catch up on what we've all been up to. First question, which is always very relevant. What did we all turn up to the studio today in, Amy Haynes?
I came in Mildred, which is my Land Rover Defender, which has been broken for a very long time and just sat not being fixed, just stayed broken.
What was broken?
It was something like the fuel pump. It was something that was in an engine that shouldn't be in an engine. Some cooling bit. I don't really know. I wasn't with it when it broke, and then it just never got explained to me properly. But it's back. So.
Does that mean that whoever was in it broke it?
Yes.
And then said, oh, it's a really complicated thing.
It's a really complicated thing. And I thought, I don't want to know. Just please fix it.
Yeah.
And then give me back. But yeah, but it's the coldest and rattliest and loudest car that I own, which for winter, it's great because it's the best off-roading one, but not good when you're really cold. So lots of layers.
Hence why you turned up fully winter spec.
Yeah, woolly hat and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah. Last time I drove a Defender of that age, I remember pulling out of a T-junction and putting on a lot of steering because they have a very slow steering rack, and then basically forgetting that you had to unwind all that steering off as well, and I just carried on steering into the ditch. Okay, I think I've got this now.
That does happen.
This is the great thing about Defenders. You can drive them into a ditch and you go, uh-oh, and just bring it back again. Yeah. They're usually fine.
Just happily bounce out again.
What did you come in, John Marker?
I also turned up in a Defender.
The white one.
Yeah, the white one, the new one. Defender 110, which I've decided I'm not going to wash until spring.
Oh.
Yeah, because I think, because it's white, I'm trying to think of the exact paint code, can't remember.
Dulux Basic.
Yeah, it's like that, yeah.
Did you say Durex Basic?
It was Dulux, and then
Dulux.
Dulux Basic.
I didn't know that was a colour.
Yes, it is white, which is means that when you have a white Defender 110, it either looks fantastic when it is spotlessly clean or disgustingly dirty.
Okay.
And where I live, it's a bit muddy and cratery at the moment, so it just looks disgustingly dirty. And I think it looks better like that, so I'm just going to leave it like that.
Well done.
Thank you.
Maybe we should do a little off-roading.
Can we? We've talked how many times over the past 2.5 years have we been saying we'll go off-road? We have done it once.
You and I did it once, and that was the scariest off-roading I've ever done in my life. Yeah. And I would rather.
We don't need to go back to Dunlop Hill.
No, not that scary again. That was a bit too scary for me.
Yeah.
But yeah,
we've got a couple of lanes near us. We can do a bit of muddy field work.
Cool.
Field work.
There will be no field work.
No. Miles Lacey, what vehicle brought you to Coventry today?
So, you'd be very disappointed because I've barely touched a car in the last 3 or 4 weeks. I've been using public transport. But I did bring the 3 Series today, which I know is not very interesting. However, it is interesting because on the roads that I was joining the M6 this morning, they were wet and icy and excellent fun. Not for everyone else around me.
No.
I had a great time.
He's having a crash. Oh, no, he's not.
No, he's not.
Although, so you say you've turned up in your 330? 20?
Yes, 330 Touring.
330 Touring. Woo-hoo. Good car, that. Great. You did drop a bit of a clang with regards to another vehicle that you have been driving recently, which we have to pick up on. Luton van.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the kind of thing that I was going to, you know, reserve until later on because it's such a bit. But seeing as you've mentioned
it.
I mean, I'm desperate to hear more.
Which variant?
You know, the Ford one.
Ford Transit 2 litre?
No, it had. Do you know what? It had a sprightly engine in it. It did, yeah, yeah. It turns out that when it's full of all your stuff from your house, it will still go remarkably well.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
I won't give a speed,
but it will go from Cheshire to Milton Keynes very efficiently.
Well,
I say efficiently. I've never seen a vehicle use fuel like that in all my life.
Oh, really?
Well, they're not the most aerodynamically blessed.
No, it was very slack.
Well, it's like a brick on wheels, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yes, I hired it. I haven't gone mad and bought myself a looted van. But, yeah, that's all I've got for you. I just feel like I'm letting the whole audience down here.
That's okay.
Well, this is the thing. You and I have not really done much kind of car stuff in the last few weeks, whereas John Marker been putting all this stuff on his social media.
You actually have.
You've been doing all the things.
Everything.
Loads of things.
I'm trying to think, when we last recorded, what was I driving?
You just got back from riding motorbike over a volcano.
Oh, yeah.
Then you had the giant i7 BMW.
Oh, yeah, that was nice. Good car, that. So, yeah, and big thank you to Partridge BMW for hooking me up with that one.
We love them.
We do. In fact, I've got a lot to thank Partridge for, because they are also very shortly going to be sending me an X7, which is such a stupid car,
but I want it so much.
You did.
From them, yeah.
You did a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the new one with the new face, which is causing a bit of controversy.
People really like those.
They're fantastic cars.
Last year, when I was doing some work in Monaco, I basically had one of those for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
They are so unnecessarily obnoxious, but I love them. And it's everything in a car that I should hate. I should look at that car and go, that is ridiculous, disgustingly oversized, completely unnecessarily expensive. Why has it got diamond encrusted gear selectors? And yet I look at it and go, I quite fancy one of those.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a bunch of money. Yeah. And actually, Alpina do one as well, which
they
I think would be a great vehicle.
Didn't know that.
The XB7, and they do it in a beautiful dark green.
You love a bit of green, don't you?
Green,
he even complimented my running leggings this morning.
Which are very green.
Very fetching.
Very dark green.
And you know, just lift it up again.
Ooh,
hang on. They go very well with your salmon pink socks.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And my salmon pink skinny legs. They're not skinny.
What a combo that is.
What a beautiful bit of theatre for the mind for our dear listener. Amy, twice in the space of 10 seconds, raised her leg like a ballerina.
Ballerina with a problem.
A first day ballerina.
Ballerina with sciatica.
But that's good. We should do more of that. Yoga in the podcast. I don't think I could even get my leg that high. That would be dangerous for everyone involved.
Nah.
I'm intrigued. You know what?
No,
after
don't know. Yeah, that's for a new outlet. But yes, i7, incredible thing. Still not sold on the way that it looks, but I feel like it's one of those cars, a bit like BMW have done this a lot over the years. They've produced cars that initially we look at and go, okay, that's different. And then a year or two down the line, we look at it and go, okay, actually, they're a bit ahead of their time.
It's the car equivalent of it's a grower, not a shower.
Yeah.
Does that work?
No. Yeah.
John's lost for words. Moving on.
I don't know. What do you think of it, Amy Haynes?
You're not
somebody that looks at cars in order to take photographs of them. So if you go onto driven.site, which is our website.
Driven.site.
And it will be, should still be there as one of the top stories.
Oh.
It's huge.
It's a big thing.
Review the 7th 7.
The
is that
7th
it?
7, that's Ooh. Right, because it is the 7th
oh.
7 series.
That's a... I don't think I did borrow one of those.
Not that
even,
one.
Even the...
That's like brand new.
Yeah.
No, mine was a bigger one than that. I quite like it. It's got like this double headlight malarkey going on.
It's got all the technology in it.
Yeah, it's got a lot of tech.
No, I quite like it.
Insanely comfortable. I think it makes a lot more sense when the headlights are on, which might sound like a strange thing to say. When the lights are on, it all kind of... The corners and things are there and they make sense. When they're off, you kind of look at it and go, I can't really tell. All you see is the huge grille and nothing more.
And I quite like the massive grille.
Wow.
Like, it's not... BMW have done the thing that I've not enjoyed about BMW design for the past years has been the two very kind of skinny, kind of nostrily... This is more like a wide nostril, but I quite like them.
Very big.
Yeah. No, I like the big grille. I'm not against a big grille. little tiny skinny grill. I'm like,
Where do you both stand on the new M2? Because I know that this is one that, again, loads of people have been debating whether they like it or hate it. And some people got very upset when they saw the photos of it.
I like it.
I quite like it.
Yeah.
No, I think it's cool.
I like the way it's super wide. It's got real sort of shoulders about it, that kind of... Look, that looks a great-looking car.
I'm showing a photograph to the team.
For context, yeah.
For context. Yeah, no, I think it's cool.
I actually think it's great.
Yeah, I agree. I'm still not overly sold on the back, but I don't hate the front at all.
Oh, no, I don't mind it. It feels a bit tronny, and I quite like that. I like the fact that we've got a few more angles coming in.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, no, I think it's cool.
I enjoy it. And also, it's remarkably big for a small car. Because it's on the M4 platform, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
So they binned off the 2 Series platform.
That's right, yeah, for the G82.
So that's why why it is so wide.
Yeah, yes, it is. It's a 4 Series that they've shortened slightly. But yeah, okay, that's interesting.
And they do good skids.
The reason I ask is because I have one of those coming in January.
Oh, come on.
From the BMW press office. So yeah, that's going to be quite good.
Amy, we need to get in on this because since I've been here, I haven't ordered a single press car.
Well, there's only one person in control of this.
No, I get that. And do you know what? Do you know the only press car I've had since being involved with Driven?
Oh, yeah, what? I do.
I don't know.
Don't complain about it because I really wanted to go on that event.
It was great. And it was the Dacia Jogger.
Sorry.
Don't laugh.
Why
are you laughing for?
No, it's great.
No, really.
It's great.
No, don't be like that.
I'm not laughing. No, I think it's a... Sorry, is the suspense.
I know. It was like, and it's a Dacia Jogger. It was great. We actually went on... have we talked about this?
We didn't. I don't think we actually did talk about it.
Okay.
But you did all sorts of nice...
We did some amazing stuff. It's partly why I've got tennis elbow as well.
Is it Dacia's fault?
Yes. Oh. Yes. So what happened was, I'm terrible at sports. Everything that involves some kind of skill or coordination. I'm okay in a car.
Okay.
Everything else, no. And they decided to take us surfing.
Nice.
Remind us on what time of year this was.
Oh, this was like 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was October.
It was still a bit chilly.
But it was Baltic. Okay. Absolutely Baltic. It was on the south coast. The sea was choppy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a well-balanced human. At all. So I was one of two people that hadn't surfed before that stood up. There are pictures to prove it. And surfed all the way in.
Well done.
Did you just like jump off the board at the beach, go, right, that's it, I'm done.
That was it. I've got the photo.
If you nail a trick of any variety, the best thing you can ever do is go, right, I'm never doing that again. So just quit, like walk off, go, right, yeah, I'm done.
With your board and your arm, you're like, your new surfer hair.
It was all down, yeah. And in fact, I don't know what it is about people that work on the coast, but they look like they shouldn't be from the UK. Like this one of the young lads had the most incredible tan, and he had hair like an Aussie surfer.
Must be something about getting battered by coastal wind.
Possibly,
or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You get like wind rash, don't you? So it looks like you got a bit of a tan, but you've actually just been
battered by the elements,
sand and stones.
Like Miles,
you've
got the beginning of that surfer hair. Look, if you just let that grow out, that's
maybe I could. Mm. I'm considering it. Not the surfer hair, but just growing it out.
Like ponytail length.
Oh, no. Not like David Seaman or something like that. Or maybe.
I think.
Nah, maybe not.
Well, we could do.
No, I'm not going to do that.
No.
We did talk hair with Tom Ingram the other week because he's also in the process of growing his hair out.
Mm.
And he's going through that painful middle stage where it just looks crap all the time.
You just look like you.
Your words, not
mine. we went on this thing called Dacia Camp and it was very exciting. So I didn't have much to do with Dacia before, but John has. And then I got a message to say, we've been invited on this thing. I can't do it. Do you want to go camping in the Dacia? I went, well, yeah. All right. And so the whole Dacia thing now is about like the outdoors, being adventurous, the car being practical and all that kind of stuff, which is really interesting because I said to them not that long ago, it wasn't really associated with that, was it? It was just like an affordable car.
Yeah.
But now, like everything they do, the colours, the colour palettes, the way the cars are designed, all that kind of stuff is geared at people that like to be outdoors doing stuff.
Yeah.
And they do a very good job. So I had the Jogger for a few days and I lived in it for 2 days. All of my stuff. It has the back folds out into a proper bed. And then it has like this tent attachment thing that goes on it as well. And yeah, we hacked around the south coast for a few days in the worst conditions ever. And it was brilliant. I actually really enjoyed it because I'm not an outdoorsy person at all. I said, if I was, you know, if you were to aim this at anybody, it would not be me. But I came away as a full convert.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah.
There you go. Dacha. But you're right. Dacha has, it has evolved into this brand that's kind of now, it was the cheaper version of a Renault. And
that's
know,
right.
That's a bit mean to say that now, but that's ultimately what they were seen as. It was Renault parts bin that had been raided, and you could see there was a bit of Clio there and a bit of Megane there. But they have become almost a bit, kind of a bit of a cult following now.
They have.
Our friend of the show, Alex Goy, even runs his own Instagram account called Dustagram, which is, or Dachagram, something like that. You'll find it. Go and find Alex, you'll find that, which is quite cool. And the point of me discovering how good they were and the kind of the great test for them was going to the North Italian Alps, where historically it's always been filled with old men with big puffy red noses driving old Panda 4x4s, which of course have come to the end of their life cycle now. Yes, you can go and buy a new Panda 4x4, but what are the old men driving now instead? They're actually driving Dacia Dusters. So if it's good enough for the Italian old men, it's good enough for the rest of the world.
I would totally agree with that. Yeah. Well, they had three, the other guys, journalists, they were like personalities, I suppose, way more outdoorsy than me, were in the Dusters, and they had this like roof box tent thing on it that was really good.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I was in the jogger, and it was great. We went, we basically, yeah, we were in the cars for a few days. We went hiking, we went surfing, as I said, and all of the stuff was there. They would provided all that. And then of an evening, we went to a campsite and camped in the cars, and there was no phone signal, which was great.
Oh, lovely.
And do you know what the evening entertainment was? A lady.
With a guitar around a campfire?
Not quite. Oh. There was a man with a guitar around the campfire, but before that, under the starlight,
right,
she read stories to us.
Oh, I bet that was so nice.
It was so cute. I know.
Were they good stories?
They were great. It was talking about all the star constellations and what the meanings are and how they all came to be.
Oh, I liked that.
It was actually very enjoyable, yeah.
Gosh. Mm.
Side note on that, when I was in Scotland last week doing a little tiny bit of off-roading, but we saw the Northern Lights in Northern Scotland.
No way.
And that was quite
I'm
cool,
so
yeah.
jealous of that.
Well, it was one of those where I've seen the Northern Lights in Iceland as well, and they're properly bright. And so to see them in Scotland, you kind of like, you squint a bit. You think, are they? Is that a bit brighter? And then you take your phone out and then you're like, oh my God, it actually is. And
so is it a lot more visible through a phone lens, for yes. a camera lens than yeah. it is through the eye?
Yes, it is. Only if you're looking somewhere that's a bit more south, like England or Scotland.
How does that work?
Yeah.
Your eye will only be taking in a certain amount of light and your phone can keep its eyes open and wider for longer, basically. So you can take in more light. So there we are.
See, I still haven't ever seen them, despite doing stuff in the Arctic Circle, despite running ice driving experiences for 10 years in a row in Sweden and in Norway. I have never seen the Northern Lights, and I still struggle to believe it's as impressive and vivid as I see it on camera, on film footage, because it always looks like this huge light show that's dancing around. Is it like that?
Yeah.
Oh, it
Very
is.
It's mad. So. It's absolutely mad. It's like the speed of them. I just thought that things were like sped up when you
That's
watch.
That's exactly
so
what
I always
thought
it was like a time lapse thing.
Yeah.
And it's basically when you're underneath them. This is when I was in Iceland. They're almost like daggers shooting down at you. It's really crazy to see. And then they do kind of like wave, not quickly, but like you can very easily. They move really kind of much quicker than you think.
That's
so
super cool.
Yeah, it is really cool.
I do want to see them.
I don't want to rub it in, but the very first time I ever went to Arjeplog, I saw them and they were very vivid.
But if anybody listening is thinking about seeing them, next year is the solar peak. So if you're going to see them, next year is going to be a really good year to do it.
Cool.
So,
chalk it down, people.
Go and do your ice driving next year.
That's a very good idea. Very good idea. Isn't there also going to be a solar storm that's going to basically turn off the internet? Eh. Or is that just like...
Oh, come on. There's one of those that comes around every year or something, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see.
So John has done a fantastic job, as he always does, of printing off notes.
Sort of.
I don't know why I'm showing the microphone the notes, because that's not going to do anything. But what's actually at the end of the list, I think we should talk about right now, because it's quite poignant.
Yeah, I was going to do that. Well, I was going to ask about your little off-roading bit.
Yeah.
Because there was something else that happened whilst you were on your way to Scotland. And I think when the three of us sat down together, you mentioned the fact that you were disappearing to Scotland for a bit.
Yes.
you had a bit of car trouble.
Slight,
did you?
Slight car trouble, as in didn't have any working car at all.
Oh.
So we went to, so just before we went to Scotland, we had to go to Switzerland just for one night, just to go and meet a customer and get his car on a transporter. The only car we had to go to Heathrow in was the XJS Jaguar. It's the only thing that was working at the time. Both Land Rovers were broken. The BMW, so basically our three modern vehicles had all broken. So the two Defenders and a 330D. And then the MGB was with my dad. The Mini is deep into storage. So that was not possible to get out. And then that was it really. And then we thought, oh, we've got a 1953 Mark 7 Jaguar. And we thought, they don't really want to be going to Scotland in that.
No.
Poor little thing. When we were sat in Zurich Airport, we were like, let's see what we should do. Should we go in the XJS? Should we hire a car? Because that was our next option. Or do we do a Top Gear challenge and buy something for under a grand and just see if it gets us there?
That's what I liked, because I saw a couple of screenshots on your story with cars you were looking at on Auto Trader.
I think it was under £2,000.
Yeah, because where are all the cheap cars? I'm sure it was only like 5 years ago you could spend like £200 and get a car that would work with an MOT. You can't seem to do that anymore.
Nah, not anymore. But did you see what I put up?
No.
Didn't see
or maybe, go on.
Oh, I can't remember. I can't remember all of them now. So
did you see what I put up? No, neither did I. So that's a great story.
Well, that's it.
Tune in for more.
there were things like the Honda Civic Estate.
Oh, yeah.
Which actually was, that was my, I wanted to get that. Another one was a, what was it? A Mitsubishi Shogun.
Uh-huh.
That was also up there. Another one was a really cool thing, a Nissan something or other. I can't remember what it is. But it was really cool. I'm leaving it as that.
You didn't buy any of them?
No, because...
So what did you do? Hire a car?
No, the Land Rover ended up getting fixed literally at 4 o'clock. So we were leaving at 5 a.m. the following day. It got fixed at 4 p.m. the evening, or the afternoon
there
before.
You go. That's
so nice. We went up in Land Rover. There
Very
we are.
Good.
And then did some off-roading just for photos because I wanted to and it looks cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good for that, isn't it, Scotland?
It is good.
The Highlands and stuff. I'm off to the Highlands at the end of this week to do some car launch stuff.
Ooh.
Very exciting.
Kia EV9.
Ooh.
Yeah, don't mean to brag.
Where in Scotland?
I think we're flying into Aberdeen.
Okay, properly north. Yeah. Cool.
So, yeah, that's going to be fun. I can't, not that I can say anything about it because I've not yet got on it, but I think it's under embargo until a week or so after. But keep an eye on the social feeds because I'll show you what I can show you when I can show you. And then the big reveal and review and words and stuff will be on the website. But yeah, I'm quite looking forward to it because this is a car that's been kind of like tipped as this could be the big turning point for Kia in terms of anyone that's been going out and buying Land Rover Discoveries or BMW X5s or that sort of ilk of posher end of the big family cars are quite likely to now switch over to this new alternative, which I find quite exciting.
Do you think it will be, as your notes say, the ultimate winter car?
Oh, good question and great segue link. Because that is one of the things I wanted to ask. And the reason I'm asking it, actually, I've got two stories that tie into one. So, yes, I have written at the very bottom of my list, what is the ultimate winter car? We're in December now. A car that can do everything. And the reason I've asked this is because there's also, as you will see if you are a regular visitor to our website, driven.site, you'll see that we have new stories that go up every day or two. And one of the big stories that's broken in the past week or so is the reveal of the new INEOS Grenadier, known as the Quartermaster.
Mm.
Oh,
love that.
That's what your writing says.
What is it?
Well, I thought it said
Quartermaster.
Oh, I can see now you've said it, I can't unsee it. I just didn't really know what it said.
Yeah, usually, okay. Dear listener, I type these things out and then
in future, maybe you should.
Yeah, this time I've scribbled.
Because I thought this one said McLaren back to the Germans.
Yeah, but it says Le Mans. But we'll come to that later. INEOS have launched their new car, or they're launching, or it's in build, or it's coming very soon. Everyone's now familiar with the Grenadier. They know what it looks like. It looks a bit like a G-Wagon and a bit like a Defender, although you can't say that, but I just did. And now they've launched, or they're showing off their new iteration, which is called the Quartermaster, which is a bit like a Defender 130 pickup truck.
Ooh.
Looks like this. I'm showing the
I like that.
The team.
I'm just Googling it as
so,
well.
And I, out of curiosity, cool. Because we like a configurator system here at Driven.
Have you been playing?
I had a little play this morning. I was sat in the office on my own. I thought, let's have a little look at this and see what I could add on. So I've done myself a full configuration. Highly recommend checking this out. If you've got some time to kill, head on over to the INEOS website and spec your own quartermaster. I actually am quite surprised at how good value these cars are.
I thought you were going to say it was monstrously expensive.
I've specced up the most ridiculous version I possibly could with off-road stuff, with all the gadgets, all the technology. If I was specking a Land Rover Defender 130 up with the level of spec that I've gone for, I think I'd probably be close to maybe £120,000, I reckon, at a guess.
I didn't believe Will the other day, and we were literally in bed having an argument about how much Land Rovers and Range Rovers cost now. I was like, they don't cost that much. I don't believe it. Anyway,
they do.
Yeah, that's so funny. They're quite silly now. So the Grenadier, though.
The Grenadier that
it's
I
It's not Grenadier anymore. Wait.
No, it is. It's INEOS Grenadier.
So it's not INEOS Quartermaster. It's INEOS Grenadier Quartermaster.
That's it. Okay. Yeah, because it is still that same platform. I specced it up with every bell and whistle that I possibly could, including inbuilt winches and the rear tonneau cover. What are they called?
Roof rack,
light bars, snorkels, the mega locking diff, like crazy, crazy, crazy everything off road. £86,000.
I think that's quite good.
That's really good value.
Which is still a lot of money. I appreciate, yes, but
I don't have that money. But yeah, for people that do, that's a good value car.
I really want to have a go in one. I think they're going to be. It's such a cool thing.
I think they're great. I drove one at a tank testing facility.
Yeah.
And was very, very impressed. Because I wouldn't call myself an off-roading person particularly, but there was nothing I really aimed it at where it went, including some horribly steep things.
That's the bit that always bends my brain.
Yeah.
When off-roading or green laning or going on these specially made off-road courses, when you get the car at angles where you're like, it's going to fall over.
Yeah.
Surely it's about to roll over, and it just doesn't.
I really, really enjoyed the car. I personally like the way it looks. I like all the switches inside. I think that's quite exciting.
I quite like the way that a lot of them are above your head, aren't they? Yeah. And they're kind of like, it feels like you're in this little spaceship. They've also got these little windows above your head
can.
Yeah, I like it. It's cool.
We should get one in.
I think we should. Yeah, I'm going to speak to the people at INEOS and say, hello, can I have one, please? Because it would be cool to do a proper little review and test on it. And we've spoken about them so much, but never actually. I've sat in one at a car show, and that's about as good as it's ever got. So, yeah, it would be really cool. I just think it's cool. It's the alternative to the Defender, and it's actually a little bit cheaper, which is quite the accolade. But that's my ultimate winter car. Amy Haynes, as somebody that drives around in Defenders, I feel like your answer is probably going to be, I already drive the ultimate car.
Although mine is probably, my actual one is not the greatest because lack of heat and canvas roof.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Quite cold. Yeah. Will's is really good though because it's a bit more modern. It's 2010 one, so it's actually got good heating that works.
Wow.
And But no, I would have to stick to the Defender, I'm afraid. An older one, not a new one, just because I'm stubborn.
Yeah. Even the new ones are better. Which is weird.
You think they are.
You
drive a white one. Let's just bring that.
It's very dirty.
Don't try.
It's brown at the moment.
It is
brown.
Actually brown. Yeah, I pulled in and went,
It's off brown. Miles Lacey, ultimate winter car.
So this might sound like a very odd thing to say.
Tractor.
No.
330D.
330D, yes. Yeah, great car. I've never had like a winter car, so I've always just driven the car that I had through winter.
Yeah,
which for a while was a original Mini.
Yes, I've also done that as well.
Same issue with it being very cold.
Yep. I like that all three of us can share in that pain and knowledge of classic Minis.
Using the choke to get it going in the morning.
Oh, yep.
But with skinny little tyres on it, it would just hack through anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But often by the time you'd arrived at the place, just about that you could see out the windscreen, maybe, you know.
So. But also, once you arrived at the place, I found that once I'd defrosted my door lock enough to be able to open my door, by the time I've arrived at my place, it's frozen up again and I can't lock my door. So I'd leave it unlocked for a long time.
And again, you probably wouldn't want to have an accident in one, because many times you probably remember where you would go to jack it up and to change a wheel or do the brakes or something like that. You jack it up and then you couldn't open the door because the whole body had flexed.
Yes.
But I did have a friend of mine who understands electronics, installed some lights on the front of it. And,
nice. Rally lights.
You know, like rally lights. That felt like a proper winter car.
Did you put slightly knobbly tyres on?
No, no, just like the cheapest rubbish you could find.
Remolds.
Yeah. But then the best and most effective winter car I actually had was, believe it or not, my E39 M5. Because
I believe that.
I had that for, I ran it over a winter when I first got it and I was just wanted to use it all the time. And I was given a set of like crappy alloys with winter tyres on. And it was just unbeatable in the snow. Absolutely
unbeatable.
Is that
because of the winter tyres? And the fact that you've been driving around with like classic Mini with non-winter tyres and suddenly you're like, ooh.
It was quite a contrast.
I've got grip.
Yeah, it was quite a contrast. But it was great because it made it look like just a normal 5 Series because it was just, you know, crappy alloy wheels. And amazing winter tyres. And everyone that was thinking they were absolute heroes in four-wheel drives, whatnot, on summer tyres, we're going nowhere.
That is one of my favourite things about winter, is having the conversation, the strange conversation with people that are driving like a four-wheel drive X5,
yeah,
but they've got summer tyres on, yeah, and they're like, it's going to be fine, I'll get through it, and just watching them, like all four wheels just spinning whilst it's sat on the spot, like, that's not how this works.
Exactly, yeah. That worked very well for me. Ultimate winter car, though, very good question. I feel like for me it would have to be a wagon, just because I like wagons. So maybe something four-wheel drive. An Audi? No, probably not an Audi.
No.
RS6 on winter tyres would be
great. RS6 is good. Yeah. I know what my next press car is going to be.
Yeah, we can do that. I can put you in touch with Lou. What is your most ambitious winter car, dear listener? And the stupider, the better. Because there must be, we have such an amazing array of listeners. There must be somebody out there that's got a, watch this.
Surely if you put anything on very good, knobbly or studded tyres, anything can be a winter
Pretty
car.
Much.
That is true.
Yeah, tyre technology now is so good. Yes, you're right. Most things will be good, unless you've got like 10,000 horsepower. And you've got no weight over your rear axle and it's light.
Well, I actually had an experience last night because I ordered a cab to go into town, and the taxi driver picked me up on the road that was very, very icy.
Ah.
And I was like, just a heads up, this road doesn't ever really defrost. He was like, yeah. What does he do? First left, under, like, skidded, up the curb, back down again. He was like, oh, it's slippy, isn't it? I was like, yeah.
Were you just like, yeah, just here, mate. Yeah, just here, and just kept going.
Yeah. The worst thing was the fare kept going up as well. I was like, no, stop. By the time we stopped, I owed him another tenner.
Ice tax. Right, let's cut to a quick advert break. And when we come back, we're going to work through a few of our news stories that we've got showing on our website at the moment, because I think there are some quite cool talking topics. And then we're going to round things up and talk about the beginning of the end.
Oh. Ominous.
Ominous.
You're good at writing these ominous titles.
I'm good at making them up as I go along. I think that's the better way of saying it. So bear with us, dear listener. Here's an advert, and then we'll be straight back.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Driven Chat Podcast.
And we're back in the room. Myself, John Markar, Amy Haynes and Miles Lacey.
That's the crew.
That's the crew.
For now, at least.
You tell I've been talking to radio producers this week who are like, well, you need to get back into the habit of reintroducing everyone that's in the room after an advert break, which I understand on radio. Apparently on a podcast you need to do it as well.
Oh, right, okay.
Do we have to introduce ourselves again? Because this might be a problem.
No, we're never doing that.
That'll be like another half an hour.
Yeah. Some news stories I thought we could work through some on the website and some aren't. The big one that I feel like we should definitely talk about because it seems like a really poignant story. Top Gear is over, but not over. Don't misquote me on that, dear listener. Top Gear has been brought to a halt, be that temporary, possibly long-term, possibly indefinite. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that and see what the general reaction is around the room.
Mm. Initially, when I found out, I thought, "Oh, that's a bit much." And then I had a look at, oh my god, I've forgotten his name. Who had the crash?
Flintoff.
Flintoff. I had a look at the pictures of his face. Yeah. And I thought, "Ooh,
yeah." By swear all word. Accounts, it was very serious.
Yeah. And I thought, I can see why. So, yeah, I think it's sad, but at the same time, I don't think it's ever been what it was. Mm. And so, I think it was a. It was always going to come to an end at some point, so this is just the thing that's done it. So I think it's easier to come to an end when you've got such an obvious reason why, rather than it being like, oh, it's just the, you know, it's tailing off and you're not getting as many views and whatever, and it's just kind of clinging on to straws rather than. Because I think that'd be a bit of a, if anything, a sadder ending. This feels a bit more like, ah, no, I can see the justification here. So yeah, but I feel that there'll definitely need to be a space filled. So I'd be excited about whatever comes next.
Yeah.
What about you, Miles?
Yeah, I felt like it was drawing. I felt like it was drawing to a natural close. Obviously, that happened, which was awful. But what I had noticed, was that there, in the last 12 months or so, like Top Gear Online was putting out some mega stuff. Like almost what I felt the special films and stuff should have been on the TV show.
Yeah.
So like Ollie Marriage and Jack Ricks. Those two guys are just doing some really, really awesome stuff. Like I don't say proper car journalism stuff, but nice films about cool cars, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that might play into what the rebrand is at some point. If it ever
just
comes.
Stay online rather than being on the TV.
I don't know, because it's such a big thing, wasn't
it? It's such a valuable brand for the BBC. It was, for a long time, certainly in the Clarkson, May and Hammond era, it was the most valuable output that the BBC owned.
Yeah.
Higher than, more than Strictly, more than a lot of the huge, huge productions that they put on. Because, of course, the licence and the version of it was sold around the country to... sold around the world for so many different copies, or the UK runs of it were sold onto different channels and networks around the world. It was huge. So it will definitely, I feel like it will definitely come back at some point. But one of the things, it's a bit of a plug because, and certainly no reward for it, but I've been listening to Chris Harris's new book. I don't know if you've seen this. He's written a book. Which is essentially some memoirs, which it's interesting because at the time, clearly the time that he's written it and it's been published, I think it was published in September, October time, which of course was before the announcement that the BBC would be putting the programme on halt. Even there, he talks about in the book about the struggles of starting at Top Gear. The first season at Top Gear for him was actually really miserable, like really, really hard work. And he kind of regretted the decision of taking the job. And the book is fascinating. I really strongly recommend, if you are a big fan of audiobooks, for example, have a listen to that because he reads it himself. I always think when the author reads their own book, it sounds a lot more kind of genuine and engaging. But yeah, he talks about that period and he talks about the rebrands of Top Gear in his time and the fact that, you know, he came in at the Chris Evans chapter, which was challenging. I think everyone could agree on that. It was a bit of a strange... After following Clarkson, Hammond and May, I think what everybody wanted, me included especially, was a change to the format, a complete remake. Let's not try and carry on what we already had because that doesn't work. It was great because of the producer that was making it, Andy Willman, and the three personalities that were on camera and the likes of Richard Porter as well doing script work. To then suddenly try and replicate that without Andy Willman, without Richard Porter, and certainly without Clarkson, Hammond and May, it was like, oh, God, it's a bit hard.
Difficult second album, isn't it?
It's just impossible, absolutely impossible. And then, of course, there was the Matt LeBlanc era, which seemed to get a bit better. And then, of course, the final iteration, as we've seen it, with Chris, Paddy and Freddie, which I feel like... It's a shame it's come to an end now because I feel like they were finally getting into their little swing, the three of them. I thought the chemistry between the three worked quite well. It was a bit challenging, perhaps the first couple of episodes. But again, it's so difficult when you're looking at that same format to not compare it to Clarkson, Hammond and May. So I really hope that it does make its way back. It may not be for a couple of years. It may be for a little while. It may never come back. Who knows? But if it does come back, I really hope that the format is rejigged. I hope that the production team behind it are genuine car people, because I feel like that's potentially something that's been amiss with regards to the most recent series. You've got presenters, Chris especially, who is a, you know, an encyclopedia of knowledge, a fantastic motoring journalist, a brilliant writer and an exceptional driver. And he was being produced by people that perhaps didn't quite look at cars in the same way that he did. And therefore, it was kind of like, oh, this could be so much better. But you're right as well, Miles, you know, with regards to the online content, the video content, the stuff that's going out, you think, God, it could just be this, couldn't it? But I think the world of telly is weird and confusing, and it has to be, you have to produce in accordance to the views that you're probably going to get and what's going to be engaging to the audience. And that, for the majority, is not the nerdy car stuff that we three might watch and go, oh, I like that because they're talking about why it's good. It's people going, oh, I want to watch it because there's some silly excitementometer that's wired into somebody's underpants, which is a genuine feature that they did. But, you know, poignant story that I feel it's important we pay reference to because it's huge. But, you know, but what would a car show look like if it was
that,
going on the TV?
I honestly think if somebody had that answer.
Does it need to be on the TV anymore?
Yeah.
You know, with the internet being as it is and YouTube being as it is, have we got everything we need online? It's a strange one.
Well, even Grand Tour, you know, that's had a few iterations since it's
completely
started and whatnot.
Yeah, it started off as a studio thing. Then, of course, the brilliant thing about Amazon is the fact that you can study analytics. You can see where people watch and pause and go back. And whilst Amazon will never publicly share that information, clearly the stuff in the studio didn't work because they axed it. Whereas the stuff where they were out and about doing adventures did work, and they put all the production budget into that. So, mad times.
Watch this space.
Watch this space. Yeah. Other news on our website that you can go and enjoy. You can read along whilst we talk about it. So some exciting, well, I say exciting. Is it exciting? I don't know. We've been talking about this for years now, it feels like. The Tesla Cybertruck got delivered to its customers last week.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah.
Actually delivered?
Yeah. I think there are only 10.
Okay.
I always felt like that car that was never really going to be a thing.
I was convinced it was never going to be a thing. But yes, 10 customers, I believe.
Do you know where in the world they've been delivered to?
Yes. Ooh. Exclusively the United States. The car will never be on sale here in the UK.
Why?
Or anywhere in Europe, I believe. As a new register. You can import them because they won't pass our European regulations.
Oh.
For things like pedestrian safety.
Because it would just flatten everything.
Yeah, I haven't got the full list in front of me, but there are, any car manufacturer, you have to comply, you'll know more about this than anyone, Miles, but they have to comply with certain rules and regulations, and things like pedestrian safety is quite a priority. The likelihood of you running into a pedestrian, how does that pedestrian fall over the car? What's there to kind of help them? I'm sure everybody listening to this has now seen the shape of a Cybertruck, and you could probably work out why that might not work.
But surely, lorries get ticked off?
Yes. You're right. I don't know enough about the subject to quantify what makes something legitimate and not legitimate. I think it's like classification of whether it's a car or a commercial vehicle or something like that. And there's other silly little things, like there have to be, for European models, there has to be like daytime running lights in certain heights and corners of the vehicle, which the Cybertruck can't do because it's a weird shape. And so, yes, the Cybertruck, believe it or not, is now landing, parking on people's driveways in the United States, and they are able to drive that mad-looking car.
That's crazy.
To Walmart.
I would love to see one in the metal next to, like, a normal car.
Yeah.
I can imagine it's a monstrous thing.
Yeah. Have any of our American listeners seen any on the road yet? And have you got any photos of them? Please, can you send them over via our social channels or just drop me an email at podcast@driven.site, because I really want to see one. I just think it's going to be so bizarre. But yeah, it's here.
I'm glad it's here, because it's one of those that you just look at the pictures of it and you think, that's not real.
Surely not.
Yeah.
And I don't even know how long we've been talking about it for.
We have been talking about this since we started this format.
Good grief.
So I reckon that's 2.5 years. Wild. Because it was kind of, I feel like it was pandemic year. It was 2020 that they revealed it.
Yeah.
But almost use that as an excuse of, well, as you probably know, it's not going to come along anytime soon, but here's what it's going to look like. And everyone kind of went, yeah, right.
Has anyone ever actually seen one of the concept cars in the flesh, like a car show or anything like that?
I haven't, no.
No, I've not.
But again, because I think very early on, Tesla realised they weren't going to be able to sell it in the UK.
Ah, so it won't have
so
been
bothered. There's no effort. But somebody's going to import one. There is going to be some, and I'd love to see what it sells for over the retail price in the UK, like the first person to have one here.
Do you know what the retail price of them at the minute is?
Ooh, that is a question I should know the answer to. Please talk amongst yourselves. I'll see if I can find out.
I imagine it's not particularly cheap.
No. I'll have a look. Tesla Cybertruck price.
Lots.
Yeah.
Just lots.
All the money. Right. Okay. I'm shocked.
Okay.
That looks like it's cheap then.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? US dollars, $61,000.
What? I thought you were going to say like at least 140.
I thought it was at least 140.
$61,000 is, I'm guessing, you know, that's going to be the price from, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
So the base model, right, let me just fire through this from Wired. 2 years after Tesla is due to deliver its first electric trucks, the Cybertruck is really, truly here. And the base model costs $61,000. That's about $21,000 more than the CEO, Elon Musk, promised when the Cybertruck was first introduced 4 years ago. And the cheapest model won't be available until 2025. So I'm guessing then in that case they're launched, they've done a first edition like lots of car manufacturers do, comes with a premium price tag because it has everything attached, then the cheaper stuff comes later.
Mm.
I'm quite surprised by that, if I'm honest.
Yeah. Would you buy one?
No, absolutely not.
Amy?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah?
I actually would, yeah. I just think they're cool. I just like weird looking cars and I think it's very weird.
Fits the bill,
yeah. Although I would be frustrated about the electric thing and I want to know how range and that lot, but and also in terms of actual physical size of it, this is what I was saying, has anyone actually seen one in the flesh? Because like on British roads, if it's only been built for American customers, is it physically huge?
I don't actually know
the dimensions, like you know, the ability to actually walk around one and go bloody hell that's big or whatever it might be. And also if it's a, because all of them are pickups, aren't they? There's not any like closed cab rear cab things.
No.
So then I'd want to know what the actual, from an actual like workshop point of view, what the towing capabilities are, and if I can fit in the back, things like that.
Very true. Yeah, quite, because they've all got that like cover to cover the bed, but because it's at an angle, I guess when it's open, it's going to look very different. And the minute you put anything large in the bed, it's going to completely transform the way that truck looks, because suddenly the angular cubist shape is going to suddenly change once you've got like a big tree in the back or something.
Yes. So, I'd want to know if you could fit like a motorbike, even a little motorbike in the back or something like that, like a cool looking Husqvarna, something, you know, futuristic-y looking, and just see if that looks cool. And it might be really high there to try and put a bike in the back.
Yeah, true.
After a very long ramp with stairs.
We shall see. Now that it's here, we will actually see. There'll be people out there wanting to do crazy things with them. Other stories, another car that's causing a bit of controversy, but in a good way, because it's quite cool and exciting. I don't know if you've seen this. You might want to have a quick pop onto the website to have a look. But remember our old friend Ian Callum?
Oh, Uncle Ian.
Off of Jaguar Designs and Aston Martin Designs. Well, he and his lovely little team of people located just down the road from here have revealed their first car under the Callum brand, and it's called the Sky.
S-K-Y-E.
Sky.
I'm on our website and I can't see it.
It's brilliant.
For me, that's got...
where is it?
Go to news, automotive news.
Just scrolling down. No, I'm seeing all the things that are not the Sky.
Go to the little dashes at the top.
Yep.
And then go to automotive news.
Yep.
And then scroll down to the...
You're scrolling as well.
It's underneath the 1966 Aston Martin DB5 Hester auction.
There we go.
Interesting.
Isn't it?
Do you know, it looks like it would be better placed on Mars.
Yes.
Yeah.
Than here. What are they going for with that?
So this is a vehicle that could be used for multiple different purposes. It can be used as a bit of a beach buggy. It can be used as a car with fully enclosed doors.
It's not the most... Sorry to butt in there. It's not the best angle to open up the... It wouldn't grab my attention from that first photo. However, if you scroll down the article and see a profile shot, I'm like, oh, I get it. That looks cool.
Yeah. It's kind of got, and this might feels a bit cruel saying it because it's a lot better than this. Do you remember the Smart Coupe?
Yeah.
The little three-cylinder thing, which looks kind of weird and funky. It's a bit like that, but beefy, massive, off-roady.
I think it's quite cool, actually.
I think it's a cool-looking thing. Mm. And we will have an invite to see one in the flesh. In fact, I saw way before this was even hinted to the general public, I saw the skeleton of this product in Ian Callum's hidden design room at the back.
All right, show off.
Yeah.
Did it look anything like this?
You could see where it was going because they had a tiny little clay model version of it. But yeah, it's a cool thing. It's, as you would expect, full EV, 50-50 weight distribution, but total weight, 1,050 kilos.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's really impressive because normally anything electric weighs as much as a church.
Exactly. So yeah, it's going to be small, light, fast, fun. Oh. And I think it's cool. I think everyone needs to go and look at it.
Yeah, if you Google Callum Sky and there's a chrome orange one, which comes up and looks really cool.
Yeah,
as you said, it is like kind of that off-roady beach buggy. It looks really short and really small, but is it actually short?
Yeah, it's quite small. It's like beach buggy size.
So, no, I think I like it. I think it looks very weird.
Yeah,
it's ticked my box of weird.
Is that a thing that's going to be a thing?
It's a thing. It's going to be for sale for people to buy, to specify and colour and put weird wacky wheels on or take the doors off. It's, ready to go.
Great.
I'm quite excited. With the Cybertruck and do you call it the Sky?
I think they're calling it just Sky.
Sky, okay. Two cars already that are now going to be obviously on the road, even if not all in Europe. Just this new direction of weird design. Mm. I'm really looking forward to it because I feel like for the last 15, 20 years, we've got very, very, very boring with design.
Yeah.
Like, even unless you're talking about something really silly like a hypercar, something or other, but the general more kind of day-to-day stuff, some of the things that you see now on the road I think are really cool. Mm. Is it the Hyundai?
Hyundai like Sunday.
Is it, what's the one that's, I'm sure it's Hyundai like Sunday, I like it. is that the one that looks like a bit of an origami car, with really harsh lines through it? It's out, loads of people drive it in the middle.
Oh.
It's an EV, I think.
Is it the one that looks a bit Tron?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really cool.
Ioniq 5.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Ioniq 5, quite boxy and cool.
Yeah, really cool.
There's a new Lexus as well that's quite angular and looks like scrumpled origami paper.
Cool.
Yeah, you're right, though. Because and this, interestingly, that was a conversation, if you cast your mind back to when we spoke with Ian in the studio truck at Caffeine and Machine, mm-hmm. we were asking the question of, we're now seeing EV platforms coming. Why aren't we seeing more radical designs? And his answer was, well, because Joe Public just aren't ready for it yet. They won't buy it.
Sure.
Everyone's excited by the idea of these futuristic shapes, but the reality of what people are actually willing to spend their money on will show that they're not that excited about radical design after all. So, I think now, this is a year or two, year and a half or two later, I think people are starting to become a little bit more open to the idea of something a bit unusual, as proven by Cybertruck.
Yeah.
People are putting down orders for them, so clearly people want them.
Cool.
We'll blast through this one because I think it's a good thing to mention. McLaren are going back to Le Mans.
Yeah, I love this.
I know nothing about this. Explain.
Well, Le Mans 24.
Yeah.
The
big race that happens in France.
Got it.
We saw Ferrari return as a what's the correct term? Constructor team.
I guess so. Yeah.
So whilst Ferraris have been racing and McLarens have been racing at Le Mans for many years, an official team, as in we are McLaren, we build the car and we are entering the car, hasn't happened for a good few years. Mm. But yeah, they are returning back to Le Mans for next year. So not only have we seen Ferrari returning after something mad like 50 years as a constructor, McLaren are now back as well, which I think is mega. So we're going to see like Porsche, Ferrari and McLaren racing against each other as they were back in the 1970s.
I'm actually super excited by all of this because the racing stuff is really, across kind of GT3, and then you've got like what was called Blank Pan, World GT World Challenge now, that kind of thing. Essentially, they're all a bit of the same because it's just lots of GT3 cars or GT4 cars, that kind of thing. Mm. And then maybe in WEC you've got the prototypes, but now you've got these new LMDH cars that actually got the manufacturer's interested again. You know, you've got this wicked Cadillac. There's the Ferrari, of course. There's the Porsche Penske car and all that kind of thing. I feel like endurance racing and WEC and all that kind of thing might have a sort of big resurgence. It's quite an exciting thing.
I feel like it needs to happen at a time where things like Formula E are, pardon the phrase, dying on its ass.
Yes.
And in fact, I think, uneducated guess here, it's not going to be around for much longer.
No.
I just have a feeling. Because I just don't think people are that excited by it. I just don't see it as engaging, as exciting,
I think,
in comparison to the motorised stuff.
When you look at, you know, you can try and any kind of fancy gimmicks and stuff to try and get people interested. But when you actually go and look at the events that genuinely draw a big crowd, and I know we talk about Goodwood a lot, but like Revival, Festival of Speed, where there's just a lot of theatre and noise and chaos the stuff that we love about cars, you don't need to do any fancy marketing or advertising or gimmicks, because people just want to go and see it.
I think it just heightens all of the senses rather than just the visual, like, oh, that's going fast. It's with all the smells, the sounds.
Well, it doesn't matter, I think, that it's going fast. You know, like when I posted a video the other day and it was an old Seb Vettel clip. Of him at Monza in one of the V8s, or, you know, one of the previous Red Bulls, and the thing's screaming its head off and he's like drifting it at 150 miles an hour. I was just like, that 10 second clip was enough for me to go, wow.
Yeah.
And there's not really a moment like that in current F1, large for me at least, down to the, you know, lack of interest in the actual car itself, that's really got me that revved up. And even these little clips of the LMDH cars now, the WEC and whatnot, and they start off on electric when they're leaving the pit lane or something.
Oh, so cool.
And then they just go bang, like fire their combustion engine up and rumble into life. And the best one so far is the Cadillac. The Cadillac sounds unruly.
I've not seen it.
It's such a bizarre combination of sounds. Electric motor whining, like almost sounds like a reverse gear.
Yeah.
Straight cut, whine, and then this bow as the engine kicks in as it's getting to the end of the pit lane. It's just so cool.
We'll post some clips on socials because it's just cool. It's unnecessary but very cool.
Yeah. So yes, exciting things with Le Mans. Le Mans suddenly looking more and more exciting and appealing to watch. But another one, which is kind of in, these stories can go back to back, I think, the fact that Goodwood have announced that the Revival for 2024 will be exclusively fueled by synthetic fuels.
I think this is really exciting.
Yeah. Wow.
I am very excited for this.
Mm.
No,
go on.
I was just the. Do you want to have a little coffee?
Do you know what I'm going to quickly do? I'm going to go and slug a bit of water, but I'm going to let you two carry on.
Okay.
I'm going to just walk out the room for 10 seconds, slurp some water from the kitchen that's on the other side of this wall.
Very good.
But yes, tell us, Amy, why are you so excited about Goodwood being sustainable fuels?
So thinking about just the...
Right, now John's not in the room.
Now, yeah.
should we have an honest conversation?
I'm still here.
Oh, wow.
Slay him off.
Sorry, yes, refuels. Good
fuels. But yeah, basically, the only way that we're going to be able to get the... For me, the future of classic cars is the thing that I'm really rooting for, because of the whole, like, everything being on the road being so boring. That's why I'm excited about things like the Cybertruck, because I'm like, this is different, exciting. I think classic cars will also be the same way. However, we obviously need to get over that whole, like, destroying the planet kind of thing.
Yeah.
But synthetic fuels is going to be the way forward. So to have Duke of Richmond, Goodwood, be like, we're just going to do this, and this is the first, as he said in his statement, the first time that any major automotive event is going to be doing anything like this. Like, I'm surprised that Formula One haven't tried to do this before. Like, Revival to do it first, I think, is wicked.
Yeah,
so,
cool.
Yeah, it's...
Little line there, by the way. Formula One should have done it first. Well, this is what's really exciting me about the fact that this is happening and the fact that Goodwood are doing this, because in my little brain, I can't help but think, well, if we can have access to fully synthetic fuels and carbon neutral racing elsewhere, then could we potentially bring back the V8s, the V10s, the V12s to Formula One? If they were running on synthetic fuel.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I know there's this big movement towards, it's already hybridised, we know that. And there's conversation about, there's a likelihood that Formula One engines are going to be four-cylinder, and a lot of this might be hearsay, but there's conversation about it. Well, hang on a minute. If we can use fully synthetic fuel, can we please have a screaming V10 F1 car again, providing the fuel is clean? Why not? It would be so good. I'd actually watch F1 again.
100%.
Yeah.
That would change the landscape massively.
Completely.
It would.
Completely. Is it going to happen? Is there anyone that's listening that's in the know that's going, actually, we've been talking about this for quite some time? I want to know because I just think it's going to be so cool. I'm so unexcited by F1, and I know that's a controversial thing because loads of people love it and watch it religiously. Loads of my friends absolutely adore F1, but we all sat round together to watch the last race of the season last weekend, and I was just so bored. It's just such an unexciting sport for me.
The upside down pig track.
Yes, yeah.
The one that looks like Spider Pig.
Spider Pig upside down in Vegas. But yeah, that last Bahrain one, I was just like, oh, shit. Who's this guy that's 10 seconds faster than everyone else? Oh, yeah, he always wins. Right, brilliant, great. Yeah.
Well, I saw a thing, and it was a guy who, it was quite good actually, posted a video to say that actually the F1 has been this year versus the previous 2 years a bit more interesting in terms of, you know, not the top two teams, as it were. And he'd literally on the screen, on his team, got like a paper cutout that had, you know, the names down the side of the current order of the...
Yeah.
And it just blocked out Verstappen at the top and then put number one at number two, basically, to say, forget what he's doing.
Yeah.
The rest of it's not too bad.
Well, you say that, but I don't know if you know this, but the betting sites, things like Bet365 and other gambling sports sites, I'm, as you can tell, not a very regular sports gambler, but you can bet on the odds, but without Red Bull. And without Verstappen.
Wow, that's
so
quite telling.
Because otherwise it's like, oh, well, I'll bet that Max Verstappen's going to win. Oh, he has. Right, he's won. Great. So, yeah, they now have odds without Red Bull. Yeah. So they actually say, like, race results excluding Red Bull because it's just a cert that they were going to win.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, madness.
Isn't it funny that they're almost a victim of their own success by being too successful? And
this
now
goes.
People are bored of that.
Like, look at us. We've made the best possible racing car ever seen in this sport. And everyone's like, yeah, not interested.
You've made it worse.
Wow.
People like Jeopardy, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
I know, I do.
They do.
But the synthetic fuels thing is brilliant. I think the first time we saw... It was Goodwood again, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Was it the Porsche? Porsche were doing it.
The Ford Water Trophy.
Every single Porsche that was... Were they pre-60s? No, pre-70s cars.
Pre-70s cars.
Every single one was on synthetic fuel.
Yeah.
And the racing was mega.
They sounded great. They smelt unusually nice. It was quite a strange, different smell to the usual old fuely smell. A lot of the drivers were saying the octane rating of that fuel is actually spicier than the irregular petrol, so the cars were even a bit quicker, a bit more powerful.
Rowan Atkinson also sent out a quote, and he said something about the performance was better than what we got in actual fuel.
Yeah, yeah. This is the great thing about, essentially, we've been taking a crude product out of the ground and refining that into a combustible fuel that we can use. Now that we've got people with vastly larger brains than ours combined going, well, actually, we can make something similar and therefore can probably make it even better and more efficient with a higher octane. It's exciting.
Or in John's words, more spicy.
More spicy.
Can we have more spicy fuels, please?
Yes, please.
Make it more spicy.
Coming along so soon as well will affect the current, I still think it's I've spoken about it before, stupid idea that we're meant to be stopping all internal combustion by... Has Rishi stopped that now?
No.
In the UK?
He's put a little pause on it. So the deadline was 2030.
Yeah.
And it's now been pushed back 5 years to 2035.
I think that's really, actually, I won't get into politics. I think it's a really good idea because it just gives us 5 more years to actually think, hang on a minute, is this the most sustainable? Because this is the frustrating thing, is it's not sustainable to be purely, as we've just learned, if you're having one, if the future of cars is meant to be just electric, is what the world has been going towards up till now. It's a really silly idea and very bad for the environment. So have something so popular do something like this with Goodwood doing revival on synthetic, I think it's a really good idea to be like, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. How about
this is the stuff that needs to be happening.
So I think that's a really, really smart move.
No, we'll see. It'll be interesting to see what changes. Of course, a lot is going to happen technology-wise, even between now and 2030, which is still a good 6 years away. But then certainly for another 5 years beyond that, the yeah, you're right. The space is going to be shared. We don't know what else is going to come along in terms of propulsion and how things are going to be fueled. I think the EV infrastructure will get better. I think that it's going nowhere. We will have electric cars as a big, major part of our automotive method of getting around in the near future. But I feel like the overlap is going to be a lot longer. And of course, you know, if we go and buy a car today, that car, petrol or diesel powered, is going to last at least 20 years. Mm-hmm. You know, the era of a car lasting 5 or 6 years is long gone. Now cars just seem to work fairly well. So yeah, it is interesting. Anyway, I feel like now's a nice time to open up the landing gear, bring this one down. Because we've got quite a lot to do today on the day that we're recording this. We're not just recording this for your ears on Monday, the 4th of December.
John's working Amy and I like dogs.
There's some other stuff coming up as well. But we've also got to go and play with a dog.
Yeah,
that's
my
a
dog's
real
in the car.
Scenario.
Not just a dog. It's a dog that we... Well, I haven't met your dog
have
yet.
Have you not?
No,
oh.
So it's not. We're not just going to go and look outside and just see a dog.
Go dogs
go find one. Is that called dogging?
Yes, that's exactly what dogging is. Yes, okay, you're absolutely cool. Right.
So we're going to go dogging in a bit.
So yes, on that very hard-hitting piece of news, we will draw this to an end. You are aware now, if you've been a regular listener of ours, that the format of what we're doing is going to be changing fairly soon. We're going to be having a bit of a pause come the end of December, and then we're going to be back late winter, early spring, with something either very similar or very different. We haven't still yet decided fully what that's going to be. However, what I would say is keep an eye on our website, driven.site. That sort of stuff is going to be going on regardless. We're still going to be reviewing cars, still going to be making videos, still going to be doing the news stories every day. So do keep an eye on that, but there you will also see the announcement and the news of what's coming next. This isn't the final episode. That's still to come, but it's worth mentioning it because there is a new podcast that you can go and search for and find and subscribe to right now. To find out what it is, how to find it, go and look at the website. Ta-da. For now, I will say thank you so much for listening, dear listener. Thank you, Miles.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you, John.
And thank you, everyone in the world.
That was a smooth outro.
It's outtake time. Right, happy days. We'll do the introductions as per. Hello, my name's John Markov. Who'd like to go next?
What happened there? Normally you say more.
Or you look at one of us.
Okay. Oh, okay, I'll start again.
No, let's carry on. Hello, I'm Amy Haynes.
And I'm Miles Lee. I just like the... Wow. Like an internal burst.
Should we start all over again?
Yeah, sorry. Right.
Introductions. I like this. 1 minute and 20 seconds in.
Sorry, Tom.
Hello, I'm John Markar.
Hello, I'm Amy Haynes.
And I'm Miles Lacey.
We're going to do that again.
I'm so sorry.
I need to keep it.
Right, don't look at me.
Don't look at anyone. We do need you to look at the microphone, though.
Okay.
Because otherwise it doesn't work.
Why is this? Okay. You need to be this hard. What she said.
We've got 3 recordings we need to do today.
I'm so sorry.
You said 2.
And Amy's got a dog in the car.
You said 2.
Okay.
Well, 2 and a bit. Okay. 2 and an intro for the next podcast.
Good.
Okay.
Okay, I'm in the zone.
Hello. Who's that?
That was me, and I'm very sorry.
Wow. Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Can't wait to announce the new lineup for the new podcast. Featuring just me. Right, here we go again. Hello, I'm John Markar. Right. One of you can start.
Okay. I'm so sorry.
I wish I was this happy.
It's Friday.
We'll do the intros at the end.
Right, now
make life
I'm
easier.
Good, I'm good.
You sure?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. Amy, stop looking.
Amy's not good. Amy's dying.
Let me start then. Okay. Hello, I'm Amy.
Oh, God. I'm going
it.
To stop this recording and start again because it's not going to...
The Driven Chat Podcast. Powered by Paramex Digital.
Uh,
Oh, wow. You've made it to the end. The very end. And it's John Markar here again, reminding you that this podcast, the Driven Chat podcast, has now run its course and has come to an end. To find the new format, search the Driven podcast in your preferred podcast app or head on over to the website driven.site to find some quick and easy links through to the new episodes in the new formats on your preferred apps. Thanks. Bye.